Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Half Their Fantasy Podcast, episode 43. I'm your host, Peter, and I'm joined this week by Tom and Gunnar. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, thank you, Peter. How are you?
Thanks for asking. Gunnar, how are you?
Yep, doing very well, thank you.
Right, we're back with one of our special podcasts. We're going to rank the fullbacks in the Scottish League. We've got our own processes of doing it. Tom has his school teacher approach. Me and Gunnar's got a slightly different approach, but when I looked through it all, we'll get to it later, but I get through it all, we pretty much had, I believe, the meat and bones of the same top 10, roughly ranked, pretty much similar, given our two or three outliers, but we'll get to that later. Also, last game week, Wednesday night there, was the semi-finals of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup, so Gunnar will have the graphics out later, but the four guys who are playing, I will read out the results for now, so they know if they listen to this for the brackets go up. Libertine 95 had 88 points and he beat Bleaxio 10, who had 81 points, who was Robbie Dempsey, I believe, on our league. And Toynton 1983 had 81 points, but he was beaten by Skush 2605, who had 91 points, highest score of the four guys left. So the final will be Libertine 95 and Skush 2605. But again, getting all the brackets updated, and that will be this weekend. And I believe the games are split between Saturday and Sunday, so they won't even know after the Saturday. They're going to have to wait in tender hooks to find it Sunday if I've got the cup in the bag. Oof. Also, my more housekeeping, we now have our Euro 20 League active. You'll see it on Twitter. I posted on my own Twitter fantasy half. Gunnar's also got up with some lovely graphics with it, so we'll not push it too much now. Give it a week or two. We will be pushing that for obviously through the summer. We're going to come at you with some previews, podcast, kind of work out the different groups, some key players. Probably, I'd imagine we'll have a team reveal podcast before it starts as well. We've all kind of dust settled. I've just got a wee quick question for you each, just off the cuff here before it starts. Gun it your head, Tom, who's winning the Euros?
Belgium.
Gunnar?
France.
Right, so, okay. I went for Portugal, so three different ways of looking at it. So there you go. Excellent, right? So, I want to know how you are going about building your team for the shows, because I had a wee quick look at it and it was really, really hard to get all the players you think you want in the team. So, Tom, just, I know I've caught your card here, just off the top of your head, how would you go about building your kind of first draft of the team?
I'll probably fill the team with the big hitters and then try and squeeze in some ditties after that. And then when I struggle with actually getting starters, I'll probably take some cash out of the big hitters and try and spread it around a bit more in order to get a reasonably balanced team. That's probably my approach.
Is there any player you think is a must-have right now, even before it starts?
Ooh.
Silence.
I don't know. I'm
thinking. Nobody stands out as a must-have?
Ollie McBurney.
I think you're the same questions to you. How are you going about building the team? Just off the top of the head, how would you go about building your team? And yes, who would you have as your must-have player?
So I've had a bit of a look, and I think I find it quite difficult just for the sheer amount of players that you're going to have on offer. I'm going to go the same with Tom, big hitters first, and then build my team around it. I've done the graphic for our league as well. I put Van Dijk on it. He's definitely not playing, so he's not coming into my team. But you're probably going Mbappe up top. I don't know, Kane, if you fancy him. Like I said, I find it really tough. Even like goalies, how much can you use your like fantasy knowledge of going budget keeper, say, or would it be better to bring someone in like Neuer, who might be a bit more expensive, might keep more clean sheets. I haven't looked at the scoring. If they have bonus points, for example, let's say if the goalie gets points per save, or if it's like the Scottish game, just for the clean sheet. But yeah, before I pick my team, I'll probably look at the fixtures as well. I think you get a round of like unlimited free transfers after the group stages.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably look at the big teams and see who have the easiest groups. And because it doesn't really matter after the group stages, you keep refill. So look at the fixtures and then take it from there, I suppose.
So we'll move on to our league then and the FPL. So FPL, yeah. And the Fantasy Football Scotland. So there's been changes in the top three. Gunnar, you've slipped out into fourth position. But there's a game week left, so you've still got a chance to get in the top three. Don't you give it now? I think Wolfe Tone McLinney's too far ahead. He's 2-2-3-7, so he's 21 points clear of second. Can I see him getting caught? But there's some impressive scores this week. Second place, Clonkeran Lions with 81. Third, I sort of knew, Chris Bristow at 96. And down to number eight, he's no finished, Keir Randall at 98 points. So that was a pretty good scoring this week. So let's talk through our points then. I'll go first. So I had no playing goalkeeper again. Doig for 7 points. Captain Tavernier back in for 26. Young Hildy for Ross County for 2. Cross midfield, Callan for nothing. Forrest for 3. Turnbull 11. Ellenessy 3. Up front, Shanklin for 4. Could have been more if he didn't miss that penalty. Morelli's vice-captain 4 and Lafferty 9 for a grand total of 69 points against an average of 39, I believe. So, Tom, what do you think for your points?
Yep, I had 75 points. I took a minus 4, so that was 71 net. I had Jack Anakin goals, got me 0 points. Captain Tav got me 26. Scott McMahon got me 6 points. Doig got me 7. Goldson 7. Midfield, Callahan got me nothing. Forrest got me 3. McGrath got me 6. Up front, Morelos was the vice. He got me 4 points. Lafferty got me 9. And Jordan White got me 7.
Good up.
Yeah, 72 points. I took a minus 4 as well, 68. Captain Tavernier for 26 points. Hoban, the 2 points. Goldson and Kenny, 7 points each. Boyle and Elyounoussi, 3 points each. McGrath for 6 points. My vice-captain was Morelos as well for 4 points. Cole for 8 and Edward for 6 points.
Okay, so before we move on, actually, I better go through the results actually from last night. So it was Dundee United 2, Motherwell 2, Livingston 0, Rangers 3, Celtic 4, St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 0, Hibs 1 to finalise third position, Kilmarnock 3, St Mirren 3, Ross County 2, Hamilton 1, pretty much all but Seal and Hamilton State because the goal difference is pretty much unturnaroundable. So, Gunnar, you have any talking points or wee notes from last night's games? Because me and Tom don't.
Before we came on, I had a quick look at the highlights. So you just said it there. Hibs, the third spot for them, that's confirmed. So I'd say qualifying for Europe and getting to a cup final, that is not a bad season for them. I think for them, it's now to keep hold of all their main assets. I know Nisbet, he was almost gone in January, but if they could get keep hold of him, don't sell Doig, Irwin, him as well, McGinn. That is probably where they should start. Just keep the core of the players together, and they'll be all right for next season. I haven't watched a lot of Aberdeen since Glass took over. I can't even tell you if they're going into the right direction, but the results haven't really showed it since he come in. Probably needs a pre-season and needs his style of football implemented on the team, and can pass better judgment on Aberdeen then. Killy against St Mirren, Lafferty, he can't stop scoring, would have been a great vice-captain pick. I took him out when he was flagged injured, was it a week ago or 2 weeks
ago?
Yeah,
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, McPherson and Kilty battling it out for long-range strike of the game week. Two great goals. Jay Henderson, he got another assist. So once again, from bench strike player to getting attacking returns, well done him. Hamilton, you said it. Yeah, as good as down, basically. They need to win by 9 goals next weekend to stay up. Not unheard of, but probably won't happen. Jordan White, we picked him out last week. He got 2 assists. County got the win here, but if I could, Viti and Kjell, they both gone off injured. So the price they paid for that. Yeah, 3 important points for them, though. What else do we have? Rangers, Tavernier is back. He's back to scoring penalties as well. 26 points from my captain this week. Aribo, apparently he can do a job at left back. He's had a good game as well. Livy, that's gone a bit under the radar. They've only taken 9 points from the last 13 games. I mean, credit where it's due when Martindale took over, but it's really gone downhill. Yeah, the past weeks. United, they're really missing Sigrist in goal. And even now that Spurs are getting 90 minutes, but he can't get a clean sheet, you know. He's the ultimate troll, in my opinion, of Fantasy Football Scotland. Cole, he was my -4 this week. Also to protect rank a little bit, he's a goal machine. I said it last week, I think, that it might have been a mistake of taking him out, so I brought him back and got an assist and a goal. That was good. And then there was some really nice football play, I thought. Bit of a shame it took until the only 37 for that to see it. St. John Snow, they came out with like a second 11, but yeah, I was expecting a bit more from St. Johnson, but Celtic were just too good for them. Could have probably scored more. Barkas, he's even made a couple of saves, and Dembele, he got his first professional goal, if I'm not mistaken.
I liked the Barkas call. That was good. That was Barkas finally got a save. Week 37.
2, I think, even. So.
He actually, one of the teams actually pretty good. But if you did see that, it was John Kenny making an absolutely rip-roaring ass of a header. That's how they'd end up saving it. Right. Predictions. I'd ask you for predictions, obviously, for last night. So, obviously, people have known the pod. The game was Kilmarnock, St. Mirren, Ross County, Hamilton, Aberdeen, Hibs. So, before predictions last night, Peter was on 53 points, Tom was 33, and Gunnar was on 50. Gunnar's now in the lead, 1 game week to go with 54. I get nothing last night. Tom, you get nothing last night. Oof. Gunnar got the 1 each week, come on, it's Mirren's got a point, and he got the Ross County 2 Hamilton 1 game correct, so he got 4 points. So in the last game week, Gunnar's leading by a point. Tom, you're out the race. It's between me and Gunnar here. You know how much he likes to win things, but hey, let's go. Hibs and Celtic. Tom.
Two 1 Celtic.
Good.
2-0 Celtic.
I've went 1-0 Celtic. Just for in case you think I'm gerrymandering it when I say they've got a majority next week. Rangers Aberdeen, and I've went 4-0, Tom. That's the Rangers, by the way.
2-0 Rangers.
Gunnar?
Yeah, 2-0 is my pick as well.
And the last up, Hamilton versus Kilmarnock, Tom.
3-1 Kilmarnock.
Gunnar?
9-0. No, only joking. I'm going 2-1 win for Killy.
And I've went 3-2 for Kelly. So we'll do that next week. What else we got here? So before we move on again, the fixtures. I know there's 1 game week left. So do you have any points for the last week? Transfers, vice captains? Who would you kind of just go? There's only 1 week left. There's not much moving in the league because of any points this much. So is there an MD you would transfer in for the last game week? Captain different? Vice captain different? I'll start with you, Tom.
I suppose Rooney for St. Johnston. Livingston haven't been too hot. So you could get him in defence. I think most people are probably going to go for captaincy and vice-captaincy within Rangers. Would you say that's fair?
I think so. They're under the season, 1 game to go, a league title party. I think they'll be out to win it comfortably.
I think Hamilton have thrown the towel in, so you could probably go vice-captain Lafferty then if you want to go out with the Rangers squad. Ross County still need to secure. I mean, they might have to play the playoff. So Jordan White, there's another one for captaincy or vice-captaincy punt, or even just getting them in if you don't have them. And a player that did quite well last game week was Logan Chalmers for Dundee United. Defender got two assists. So St Mirren have maybe went slightly off the boil. I still reckon they'll probably score. Dundee United without Sigrist, their defence is a different animal. So I think they'll probably concede, but he seems to be quite attacking. So Logan Chalmers.
Gunnarsson, question to you.
Can only agree with Tom. My pick would have probably against Hamilton. Don't have him, but it's probably my transfer as well. Cole to Lafferty, and then I'll vice captain him.
And keep captain on Tav?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think we're all set. So none of these are getting punty then. After we've discussed it, we're all going to stick to tried and tested.
Who was the game week?
Lafferty.
Lafferty.
Lafferty. You could say Burke as well. That was another one of mine, sorry. Didn't mention him. Burke.
Right, we all done with the Scottish talk again? Let's get else bring up. Tom, nothing?
No, that's me.
Right, okay. So, this week is the top 10 fullbacks ranked. So, again, it's a hive mind. We worked out the scores, blah, blah, blah. So, probably one of the most predictable ones, I'd imagine, people would think, for maybe the top two. So, let's go then. Number 10. And he's only number 10 because only Tom had him ranked, because me and Gunnarsson had him. So that's a split. It was Considine for Aberdeen.
No way.
Personally, I don't like him as a player. I know you're thinking Tom's because obviously the clean sheet's not. I just think he's past it. I think he's a very poor fullback.
How did I ever hear him?
I know, that was ages ago and all. Ages ago. Just me personally, I think there's much better fullbacks in the league than him. But so me and Gunnar haven't got him, so you want to talk us through the stats that got you pick, why you picked him, Tom?
Yes. So he made 34 appearances with 16 clean sheets. That's a clean sheet rate of 47%. And if we're looking at the other ones in my top 10, anyway, that's other than Tavan Barisic, nobody else beats him for clean sheets. He also got two attacking returns, one goal and one assist. Not many fullbacks got that. Well, some of them did. Some of them got like several goals and several assists, but he got goals and assists anyway. So that's why I rated him fourth on my list.
Yep, seen
that's
that.
He was in my team for quite a bit as well for the season. So that's why I chose him.
Just before we move on, again, I meant to say the process of your top 10, how'd you go about it? Was it pretty much the stats heavy and then eyes test after, like last time you've done?
Yeah, stats right. Heavy and then eye test after that.
Gunnar, how'd you go about your top 10?
I've basically just went from top of my head, whoever came to mind, who I would rate and say like a top 15. And then I went to eye test and then I looked at the stats. That's the way I did it.
Right, pretty much similar to what I've done. I wrote down a list of 15, I think 16 fullbacks, and then I'd done it by like who I liked the look of, who I think is, and then it was stats using the point system in the app and stuff like that, and using the SPFL stats center apps to kind of whittle it down.
He's the third highest scoring fullback in the game.
I like Tom. I know you like
Tom. I just had a wee look there, sorry.
See,
I'm just in disbelief, that's all.
This is where he's playing for Aberdeen. Dean, right, this is where the argument would be. He's going to have Dean, so he's playing a better defence. If he was playing for Ross County, for example, I don't think he'd get anywhere near the points because I don't think he's that good a player. And I suppose that works for any player, and you can argue it back and forth and say, well, that's the same for Barisic and Tav, but that's just the way I looked at it. I think he's a weak link in that Aberdeen defence, just Aberdeen's very defensively solid. But it's your list. Number 9, we all had him. Tommy had him in 9th, I had him in 8th. No, sorry, I had him in 9th, you had him in 8th. Gunnar had him in 9th, was Tate from St Mirren. Gunnar?
Yeah, I think he's a really good crosser of the ball and plays with attacking intent as well. He's got 9 clean sheets this season so far. He scored a goal, 2 assists. He has 26 tackles won, 92 points overall in the Scottish fantasy game. And yeah, from... Maybe I should say, so I picked out like my top 10. I've got 3 players just basically on my bench as like a spare. So maybe I don't know if Tom maybe has some of them in his top 10, but yeah.
We guess one of them. Should we try to guess them?
Well, I just know he's asked about Spurling on our
deep dive. That's so I was first guess is going to be Spurling.
Don't know if he's included him, but no. So, well, see, because I don't know our top 10, I don't know if I should say this now or just wait and see if one of you has him. So maybe we'll just get to that later. But yeah, Richard Tate, he's my number 9 from the stats I've looked at from the eye test. I think he's had a good start to the season. I remember a few memes on FFS Twitter around him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and just from that, decent player, I would say.
Thoughts on Tate, Tom? Thoughts on Tate, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I had him as number 8. His clean sheet rate was 28%. He got 9 in 32 appearances. But kind of what sold it for me was the goal and 2 assists. I thought he's fairly decent going forward, pretty solid guy. So 8 for me.
Yep. Was he of Motherwell before he went to St Mirren, is that right, Tate? No, I remember. I'm sure it was scrolling through Scottish Twitter, and I believe our Motherwell fans were, if it is Motherwell, if I'm wrong, I'm completely wrong, were pretty annoyed that they let him go because he has been pretty not bad for St Mirren since he went there. But like you said, he was well good. He did start the season pretty, he was flying, scoring a lot of goals. St Mirren keeps some clean sheets, and then he did tail off. But that's basically Scottish football. It's hard to keep players consistent, isn't it? Right, number 8. I had him at 10. Gunnar had him at 10. And Tom had him at 6. Is Scotland's right-back O'Donnell. So, Tom, you're so highly ranked. I'll let you start.
Yeah, so 12 clean sheets in 32. That's a rate of 37.5%. Again, he got 1 goal and 2 assists. I just thought he had a good season. Looked good going forward. Got a Scotland call-up. Can't say fairer than that, really.
See, I think he played better for Scotland than he did Motherwell. I thought he looked a bit of shocking season, a bit of a shaky season. But what I will say is, I think he's a better player than what he's shown in the league. And I think next year under Graham Alexander, and if he gets the right recruitment in, I think it could be a must-have in the right-back role for defenders. Gunnar, thoughts on O'Donnell?
Same arguments. I think he's one of the players that I've heard before I started watching Scottish football. And like you say, I think he's usually a better player. He wasn't bad this season, but he was just okay. And like you say, Scotland international. And I also think he's played better for Scotland than he's played for Motherwell this season. He's also conceded 2 penalties, which is why I've rated him lower than Richard Tate.
Okay, number 7. Tom had him at 8th. I had him at 5th. And Gunnar had him at 8th. It is Devlin from Livingston, and I'll go first. I think if Livingston had kept their form up that they showed, like when they kind of, the purple patch, 2 seconds. Like I said, the purple patch, I think if I'd have kept running, I'd have made it a wee bit higher than I've gotten. At 8th, not, I'd have made an arse out, Tom, like you said. But I think they fell off a cliff, and I think his form's fell off a cliff, so that's why I've got a wee bit lower. But I think, again, he was a pretty solid fullback. A couple of decent attack returns as well, I believe. But it's obviously season encapsulated. They blew hot and cold for lots of part of the season. They've really blew cold coming to the tail end of the season, so nobody's really getting past marks. So, thoughts on Devlin, Gunnar?
Yeah, I think he was one of Livy's best players since Martindale came in. Like we say it now before, it's petered off a little bit, the form there, but I think he's a player who's got great pace. Again, attacking intent. It's like a theme that goes through all my fullbacks here. I like an attacking fullback. He's got 10 clean sheets, 42 tackles won. He's got 2 goals and 2 assists. Scored a goal more than Tate and O'Donnell, which is why I've rated him just one spot above them in 8th.
Your thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, so his clean sheets, he got 10 out of 35, which is a rate of 29%, which is, I rated him 5th, but it's a lot less. His rate is a lot less than some of the other players that are a bit further down, but he got 2 goals and 2 assists. So his attacking returns was what sold it for me. And he also nailed down a place under Martindale, which was a team that had a lot of rotation. We weren't too sure what the starting 11 was going to look like every week. So the fact that he nailed it down and he had that good run, 14 games unbeaten. That kind of sold it for me, so I give him fifth spot in my top 10.
Okay, up to number six now. I'll try to get this one right this time. I had him at fifth. Someone had him at ninth. And Gunnar had him at fifth. It is Josh Doig for Hibs. Gunnar.
I think I've rated him so highly just based on he is very young. And I think he's a player with lots of talent. I think he's one of Hibs' best players. He's been managed very well. I think he's come onto the side when maybe he wasn't performing too well, and then he's come back. So he's been given the freedom of like making mistakes as well. He's got 9 clean sheets, 29 tackles, 1, a goal and 3 assists. He's got 19 shots overall. For a fullback, I think that's really good. He's almost got 100 points on the fantasy football game as well. And yeah, like I said, leading in, just on sheer talent, and give him a couple of years, I think that's a really good player in there.
Yep, I'll agree with you. I think I've got him slightly higher because, again, it's more about what I see potential as a talent. He's playing for a decent Hibs team. Like you said, he's been very, very managed well. He's been took out, I believe it was at Celtic Park, he got roasted off of somebody. I can't remember who it was, maybe Benella Lucy. Or somebody ripped him apart and he was took off at half-time or 50 minutes or something. A couple of games out, then he came back in. It was really cheap to buy at the start, I think. It was 2.5 or something because he wasn't meant to be playing. But mm-hmm. then it got to that point as well where he wasn't guaranteed to play all the time, so you were kind of struggling to pick him in the right transfer window, back and forth, if anything. What I would say is, if he is here next year, which potentially might not make a move somewhere else, if he's in this league next year, a year under his belt, I think he could be another one. I believe like O'Donnell could be in a lot of people's template teams for the start of the season. Tom, thoughts on Doig?
Yeah, he only made 26 appearances, and quite often he was substituted at half-time or even sort of early on into the second half. So for me, he failed to nail down that spot. I know he's still young, but that's why he didn't feature as high up on my list. I only put him as number 9. But he did get 1 goal and 3 assists, which is decent returns, and he was a decent price at the start of the season as well. So I think there's a lot of potential there, as you guys said. So maybe if he had a slightly better season, he might have rated a bit higher for me.
Just on Doig, I'll ask both of you, do you think he'll win a league next year? Not necessarily at Hibs, but we think he'll win this league next year, Tom?
Well, likely, yeah, I think so.
Gunnar?
I think so, yeah. He might even stay in green.
Say it again, sorry, you were bringing up there.
Oh, I said he might even stay in a green kit.
Right, and number 5. Tom, you had him at 4. No, sorry, I can do this again. I had him at 4. You had him at 7, Tom. Gunnar, you had him at 6. And it's Rooney from St. Johnstone. I'll go first this one. I really, really liked Rooney under Davidson once he nailed his position down. I believe he's like a council version of Tav. He's just so attacking down that right hand. Like, I know it may sound degrading, but I mean, he's playing for St. Johnstone, but he's really, really attacking. I think if you've got him in your team, I never led him a team maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I think, overall, I didn't have him. But if you watch the highlights, you see him, he's always attacking. So I think it'd be good to watch him. If you had him in your team, you're looking for points, because if St. John's are going to kick on under Carlton Davidson for next year and they keep the players they've got, and they're going to be a better team and more the players who have nailed positions, I think he's another one again who could be. We all like having fullbacks, don't we? We prefer having attacking fullbacks in our back line for point wise. I think he's another one who might be on a lot of people's templates. Thoughts on Rooney, Tom?
Yeah. He was further down the table again for me, 25 appearances, 1 less than Doig. He only got 5 clean sheets, which is a rate of 20%, which is the lowest in the top 10. But he's higher up than Doig purely for the fact that I liked how attacking he was. 2 goals and 1 assist. I think back to a lot of the cup appearances that he made and things as well. I think he's coming along nicely. And I, again, like Doig, there's potential there. So, for me, number 7.
Good enough. Did he come into the team because McNamara went back to loan to Millwall? Was that was McNamara in his position? It was Danny Winty, he was a player who played at the start of the season, I believe. I know you're giving me blank faces there, but I'm sure I had the throwback in, and then he had to go back to his parent club, and he was kind of forced to play.
It was the boy from Millwall.
So, it was McNamara, and I had him on my team. Remember, I had him on my team for the start for ages, looking for a turn, never happened. And when he left, he got like an assist and a clean sheet the next game week, as things work in these games. So I think that's maybe why he didn't get as much game time. Hey, thoughts on Rooney, Gunnar?
Can only agree with you two. Very attacking. since he's come into the team, I think around January. So maybe it's a bit of like recency bias, but I just like watching him play. He's so attacking, and I think for Scotland, I think he started out as a centre half as well. So great player for Scotland as well to be used on the right hand side. Can maybe switch into centre half and like a back three as well. And yeah, I just really like watching him play. Like Tom said it there, only the 5 clean sheets. So could have maybe been a bit lower in my top 10, but just because I've seen so many good things of him recently, which is why I rated him bang in the middle.
Next up, number 4, and the only Celtic player, so Gunnar, you can get your point across, I think, if that's what you're going to say, it is Greg Taylor. I had him at 3rd. Tom is at a face of disgust. Gunnar had him in 3rd.
What?
And Tom had him in 10th. So before we go to Greg Taylor, Gunnar, is this you want to bring up the player, I believe? Or is it totally off?
I think it's off, but I've had 2 Celtic players in my top 10 even, yeah.
Laxalt?
Laxalt is my second Celtic player, yeah. The player I was going on was McMahon for Hamilton. Right, so yeah, 2 Celtic players is Taylor and Laxalt. But the player I thought earlier that we were going to talk about was McMahon for Hamilton, because he wasn't really like on my radar. But then when I've looked at the stats, so 90 points overall in the Fantasy Football Scotland, 7 clean sheets. He's got a goal and 5 assists. Good crosser of the ball, setting up a lot of chances. I thought we were going to, Tom might maybe have him in his top 10. But yeah, Laxalt, I know when we're speaking about Taylor here, but Laxalt, if he played for any other team but Celtic, I think they would love him. He can't cross, but still, I think any other team in the league would love him. Even Rangers wouldn't mind having him. But Taylor, he's obviously replacing Tierney at left back for Celtic, so big job. Celtic's even gone out and tried to find a new left back in Laxalt, who couldn't take the place from Taylor. 11 clean sheets for him, 18 tackles won, 5 assists, 108 points in the Scottish fantasy game. For me, once again, any other team would love Greg Taylor in their side in the Scottish League, I suppose.
Right, I'll go first. We'll let Tom get a bit of bashing here. First of all, I had McMahon 7th on my list, guys. I had him in the top 10. I had above Donald Tate and Devlin, but nobody else had him in the list, so they obviously missed out. Laxalt, a wee bit of trivia. I'm not trivia, a wee bit of a fun fact. I believe when Eddie Howe, who might be coming to Celtic manager, signed a left back for Bournemouth, the last one he signed, I believe it was between the guy who said, I can't remember his name, and Laxalt. That was the two they looked at.
Ooh.
So Laxalt missed out. So maybe it could be something happening next year because he likes his attacking fullbacks. But on Greg Taylor, my main point is, I know me and Tom had this back and forth discussion about ranking him on the season and thing like that. My main point was, I don't think Greg Taylor done that much wrong for Celtic when he was in. And like Gunnar said there, I think any other team, maybe out with Rangers, Greg Taylor would be not first name sheet, but he'd be definitely in their back four playing. I think it's just the season that Celtic had, everybody looked really poor. But even when Greg Taylor came back into the team, when Laxalt looked poor, I think Greg Taylor looked a lot more solid at the back, but he isn't very attacking. So I suppose it depends what you want at your fullback. That's, I don't want to give him too much praise, but there you go, Tom. I'll give it to you, Greg Taylor.
Okay. 24 appearances, 11 clean sheets, which is a rate of 46%, which I'll give you is pretty high. It's not as high as Considine. It's pretty high. It's a lot higher than other guys like Rooney and Tate and Doig. He got no goals, but he got 5 assists. But for me, I think he just underperformed. It's the same story as when we talked about Christopher Ayer. He did better than the rest, but he should be nailing the same sort of numbers like Barisic, is what I believe. If you're playing left-back for Celtic, you should be nailing those kind of numbers. And the fact that Laxalt kept him out of the team for a period of time, terrible.
Right, so try and enjoy yourself, mate. Right, number 3, and I believe he's the first player, maybe the second player, who features in both. Well, let me quick check. I know this is not a very good quarter. I might just check some quickly, but I don't think. Yep, He's the first player who to make both lists of our top 10 is McGinn from Hibs, because he made it in as a centre-back as well. So, Tom, you had him third. I had him sixth. Gunnar had him fourth. So, talk us through McGinn, Tom, using so highly ranked.
36 appearances, 13 clean sheets at a rate of 36%. But for me, it was the attacking returns, 3 goals and 2 assists. Much higher than the rest of the guys, excluding obviously the Rangers players. Just thought he looked good going forward. His FFS points return was fantastic for his owners. So for me, he ranked third.
Gunnar, thoughts on McGinn?
Only agree with what Tom said there. And the only thing I've got to add, he's also top 4 minutes played out of all defenders as well. I tried to make my top 10 without any repetitions from our centre halves, but there was no way around McGinn. He just had to be in it.
Okay, I was the same. I didn't want to put him in it because I didn't have the centre back, but when you looked through the actual stats, you couldn't have him out. And then I was talking to a Hibs fan, I'm a friend of a Hibs fan for the caravan, and I asked him what position did they play mostly, and it was like they played both because Jack Ross is quite flexible with a back three and a back four, whatever has to work, but he seems to be quite attacking as a fullback, and I believe, is it a Scotland Cup, Tom, do you know?
Yeah, I think he has, yeah.
So obviously season's done well, I think he's had an actual international Cup as well. I think he's a no-brainer, he's one of the better fullbacks this year, rank I. Maybe not as high ranked as Tom's got him, but I still think he's pretty solid. And he had a nice purple patch, I believe. I think 3 or 4 game weeks where he goals and assists and clean sheets, like a nice week kind of period. If you owned him, you'd done well out it. Going forward again, another one who probably might be on a lot of people's templates for next season going forward. He's quite solid, depending. He's probably nailed to play most weeks as well. So, right. We all talked about McGinn, didn't we? Tom, did I like you talk about McGinn? You did?
Yep.
Okay, so top two. There's no guess who's going to be. It's Tav and Barisic. Or is it Barisic and Tav? Who knows? Number two is Borna Barisic for Rangers. I just want to go quickly first for what he's giving me your stats and stuff like that. I think Barisic's a better fullback than Tavernier overall. I do. But I just think you can't look by the season Tavernier's had overall. If I was buying a fullback out of the two, I'd put Barisic every day of the week. I think he's most defensively sound. He can go for all these free kicks. But I just think Tavernier this year, we can talk about both at the same time here, guys. It doesn't really matter because we know one and two, right? Tavernier this year, this is the season, an outstanding season. A lot of the times, maybe the previous 2 or 3 seasons, people talk about defensive frailties. But I think this season, a lot of that, he's cleaned up. Okay, it helps. The team's more solid and he's maybe get more leeway to attack because defence behind him helps him. But I think the people who thought Tavernier was a bit frail at the back, I think this year he's blown out of the water. He's been tremendous. He's well-deserved. Top point scorer in the game, I believe. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mantra, always captain Tavs, kind of be going on the community. Everybody does it every week. He came back after an injury, out for weeks there, straight away, clean sheet, penalty, goal. 13 points return, 26 if you captain them. It's a no-brainer to him. I'll just say again, I think Barisic's a better fullback, but this year Tavernier just blew out of the water. Amazing. Tom?
I can get behind your Barisic hype. I'd probably say the same. He's getting linked with moves to teams like Leeds and stuff like that, whereas we're not really hearing that about Tav, so I can understand what you're saying. I think Tav, the big attraction for him was the fact that he was on penalties, which for a defender, those points were, you know, essential in order to maintain your rank this season. And the fact that Rangers were so solid defensively as a unit. I mean, Goldson was top of our other list as well for centre-back, so it speaks volumes. They've had a fantastic season, clean sheet rates been immense, and they're well-deserved in first and second place for Tav and Barisic.
Yeah, there isn't much to split the two. Also, I can understand you saying that maybe in the past, Tavernier wasn't as defensively sound, but this season just speaks for itself. And the goals he scored, albeit from penalties, he's got like more than twice the amount of shots than what Barisic had. He's pretty middle of the road compared to all the other fullbacks we've looked at. Pretty even for clean sheets, tackles won, etc. But if you look at their points total, then obviously it comes from the goal scored. The Tavernier scoring over 260 points in a Scottish fantasy game, and it's Barisic 185. So there's a big difference there still. And yeah, I mean, I would have understood if you go Barisic first and Tav second as well. Like, if you, I understand the arguments, but I think this season's it's very clear Tav number one and Barisic number two.
Okay, that is our top 10 list. So later or tomorrow, Gunnar will have a wee graphic up with the hive mind. Hopefully, he doesn't lose followers this time. People disagree with him. Right, that is us finished. We will be back. I think next week we'll probably be. We're not finished the podcast. Sorry, finished the top 10. People go, oh, you're finished. Top 10. We'll be back next week with our proper end of season pod covering last game. And I think the week after that, 2 weeks after that, we'll be talking with the rest of our top 10 list, midfield and a up front, and that'll be the specials finished. So we'll go into the FPL, Tom. So this is over to you because it's Tom time. On you go.
So Tom time this week is, obviously it's blank game week 36 coming up. Several teams don't play. A lot of the players are in high ownership. So with myself, I've held on to the free hit with a view to the executing this upcoming game week. So I've asked yourself, Peter and Gunnar, who am I bringing in on my free hit? Do you want to take it position by position?
Yeah, do it position. That's the best way to go.
So I think probably where we'll start is goalkeeper. So I think I'll probably go for a non-playing goalkeeper, or I could probably get Forster in on the cheap at 4.0. But who would my starting goalkeeper be, Peter?
Plenty of options this week, Tom. So it depends who you're going to build your squad around, right? Obviously, well, who I've got, Martinez, right? And I'm happy with Martinez putting Crystal Palace away. But looking at the fixtures, I mean, it depends. Man City rotates constantly, but the one ever present is Ederson. So it's whether you think Man City can still put out a squad enough to keep a clean sheet. He's a prospect. Spurs will hold me wolves. I wouldn't touch it. Not for me. Pickford. I know he gets slagged, but I think Pickford home Sheffield United. And potentially Liverpool goalkeeper. Who's the goal for Liverpool? What's his name?
Allison.
But again, they're not. West Brom's down there. They've relegated, haven't they? West Brom's gone.
Yep, they're gone.
There's your option. But depends on the game. That would be how you're spreading out the players in the team. Because obviously, Liverpool, I'm assuming you're going to want Salah and Trent or Robertson or something like that. Or Jota. Or even Mane around the team kind of thing. We'll get to that, obviously, that later. For me, if I had a free hit, I would go for Ederson because you can't trust anyone else in Man City's team. And a non-playing goalkeeper, or just Forster, like you said, for cheapness to get funds.
Mm-hmm. Gunnar?
Yeah, I've not looked at goalies in too much detail, but the two that I've picked out are Forster, who's my second goalie, who I'm going to play this week, and Ederson. Just, I think, well, he's obviously nailed, and I think City are going to have enough about them to get a clean sheet against Newcastle. Is it Newcastle?
Yes, it's Newcastle. Yeah.
So those two would be my two picks.
Okay, just stick with you then, Gunnar. Defenders, who are you thinking?
Oh, maybe just on Alisson before that. We still don't have no centre half, so it's Phillips and Williams at centre half, I think. So just based on that, I wouldn't bring Alisson in. Plus, I think you'd be better off bringing two Liverpool outfielders in. But yeah, defenders. I've not gone position by position. I think Kufal, he's worth a shout. Dallas would be my number one pick. So I've had a bit of a look. Maybe if we do overall Leeds. So Leeds, they play. I know you're playing your free hit, but Leeds' next three games are Burnley, Southampton, and West Brom. Dallas himself, he's got an assist, a clean sheet, and 3 bonus against West Brom. And he's got a goal, clean sheet, 3 bonus against Southampton. So if you're looking for someone for like the last 3 game weeks, then Dallas 100%, he needs to come in. Mm-hmm. Hit as well against the Burnley side, who yes are a bit more attacking now, but I think Leeds, they're still gonna have enough about them. They kind of do well against those like lower ranked, I don't want to be disrespectful and say rubbish teams, but I think that is exactly who Leeds do well against. I've got some Bamford stats later on as well, but yeah, Kufal and Dallas are probably two that I picked out. Trent, he's someone I'd go with. considered one of the centre halves from Liverpool, who I just said you shouldn't get, but I think a midfielder, like two midfielders, Salah plus someone else, you'd be better off with that. So Dallas, Kufal, Trent, that's three I can nail down.
Peter, what do you think?
Right now I have got Trent, Dallas and Coleman against Sheffield United. I think that's pretty decent because also they're playing West Brom, right, Sheffield United and Burnley. So I'm happy with the three I've got. I wouldn't be taking any hits. I am going to probably sell Rudiger to bring in, Castagna to bring in Kufal. Like Gunnar said, that's probably, and that's how I'll probably roll to the end of the season with that defence. I'm lucky I kept Dallas. Dallas and Bamford, I'll cover the least point you're going to bring up. I've got Dallas and Bamford and I'm going to bring Rafinha back in at some point, either this week or next week, and that's the three again, end of the season. Fixture's good. Now that Rafinha's back, I think Bamford's numbers will go back up. Not necessarily going to score goals for fun, but he looks better with him in the team. Dallas, Coleman, Trent. If you want to be, maybe go for a double up, Robertson and Trent, if you want to fancy that. Man City defence, don't trust it because you don't know who they're going to rotate. Amongst other fixtures. Spurs, no, because it can be quite leaky. Everton, if you don't fancy Coleman, you can go for, is it Digne, how do you see his name? Lucas Digne.
Yeah.
He's another option because he's quite attacking as well. And if he hits, I suppose you can take a punt. And that's kind of it, Tom Hank. There's not that many that stands out. If it was me free hitting, I'd probably go for Trent Robertson, double up. And then sit sitting with my eyes shut, hoping we don't concede.
And who do you think for midfielders, Peter? I'll stick with you.
And I'll go back to what I've got already so you can see that. I've already got Son. I'm happy with that. Lingard. Happy with that. I've got Jota. I'm happy with that as well. And I'm probably going to move Fernandes to Salah. Same with my four. If I was going to pick any, let me see. Man City again. Kind of trust him, so we wouldn't touch him. Rafinha, I've already mentioned. I'd have him in a heartbeat. Release triple up. Then again, Tom, you're only three hitting, so it depends what's your... I'm bringing Rafinha in for long term. I'll say long term, there's only 3 weeks left, but he's in for the rest of the season. Your man for Southampton, is it Ward-Prowse? Free kick specialist. He's a shout against Fulham at home. He was also down there, gone. We've mentioned Lingard, Crystal Palace, Villa, and that. Spurs, maybe I take a punt on Bale for 1 week if you want. Fancy that. Liverpool to be different. You could go for Manny, suppose. Then I would definitely have Salah in there, 100%. And Manny, if you want to do that, maybe get a De Jota for the week. But you're taking a gamble who's playing, who's going to start. And yeah, I don't know if you have United. I don't really fancy any Everton midfielders, to be honest, right now. So
no,
that's the team I would go for.
Gunnar, what do you think midfield wise?
So Manny, he's top for big chance involvement in the past 6 game weeks. Second is Salah. So that's the two picks in midfield from Liverpool I would take. On Leeds, Rafinha and Harrison, they both scored against West Brom. Rafinha scored against Southampton. Again, that is maybe for the longer look. I know you're on the free hit, but like, so they've scored goals in two out of those three games in the reverse. Who else do I have? I want to make a case maybe for Foden and Mahrez. I know it's kind of a little bit risky, but City against Newcastle. Newcastle, they're in the top for chances conceded down the right in the past 6 game week. And Foden, who's going down the right. So if he does get a start, then he could be a great choice. If you don't have a free hit, probably would go for Mahrez because the chance of a bench cameo for Foden are much higher than Mahrez. But just on the free hit, Foden could be worth a punt. Bale, I think you made the point, Tom, that he likes scoring at home against bottom half teams. He scored 9 goals at home against bottom half teams. So Bale and Son, I would definitely look at them as well.
See, just on that, Tom, the Mahrez thing, like you're going to say, do you got a free hit? See if you trust Mahrez to play and doesn't play, won't feature. You're going to have a strong bench anyway. So your first sub would be somebody you want in anyway. I mean, it would be all right. The only danger there would be that Pep throws him on for 20 minutes or something and you're lost out potential points.
I've seen something that Pep likes doing that with Foden, but if Mahrez is benched, I think the last 4 games where he was benched, he didn't even come on. You'll get someone of your bench then in case of Mahrez.
We'll do it this week, Gunnar. It's a certainty. Mate, Tom?
And strikers, I'll go to you first, Gunnar.
Yeah, strikers, probably Calvert-Lewin. He's got 9 points already this game week. He's got a second game. I'm trying to somehow get to him, probably for someone like Iheanacho. I like Antonio, who's back from injury. I think it's them two who I've picked out as my strikers. Yeah, Watkins, he's got the red card in his last game. You probably still have Kane. You're on the free hit anyway. But my main pick would definitely be DCL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've currently got Bamford and DCL, so I'm really happy with that. My team's kind of worked out not bad this week. If you look at the fixtures, if you really want to be punty differential, maybe Aguero away to Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bamford, I recommend definitely. Southampton, Brighton, West Ham, Antonio, maybe, but Brighton's quite solid at the back. West Ham's pushing for a stop four. We think have resulted this week, they've still got a chance. Palace, Villa, no thanks. Kane, I suppose if it's not broke, don't fix it. Liverpool, nope. And Everton, I've already said DCL. It's actually quite easy to narrow down striker this week, to be honest.
I think Bamford, just to like complete this Leeds thing that I've gone here. So Burnley, Southampton, West Brom, again, that's the next three games. Bamford, he's already got goals against Southampton and Burnley this season, and he's got two assists against West Brom. So I think he'll be a good striker for the run-in.
Tom, do you have Bamford?
I did, but then I sold him.
Right, I was going to say, you could maybe punt away from 1 week and then you get him in your squad anyway. But
oh, wait, no, I do have him. Sorry. I do have him. It was Rafinha that I sold, sorry.
Did you sell Kane last week as well?
I sold Kane and Son.
See, maybe you're the best, well, free hitting onto Kane and Son, because then that's the game week. Then if you're off it again anyway next week.
Yeah. I'm trying to work in some differentials to try and get a bit of an edge.
So formation wise, but is it going to be a 3-5-2 or 3-4-3?
Either 3-5-2 or 3-4-3. I'm only going to go with the three defenders. Some differential picks. I was considering Antonio was a good one because I kind of thought with Brighton, Dunk got the red card last week, so they'll be dunkless, and they'll also be. Safe now, there's not really much to play for. So, whereas West Ham are obviously pushing for a potential Champions League spot, if not a European spot in some capacity. So, I quite like Antonio. I'm also thinking Wood as well for Burnley. He's been on great form recently. And Leeds haven't been great defensive wise, but they have been a bit better more so recently. I'm looking to maybe try and get some City assets in just because most people will be avoiding them purely for the fact that. We don't really know what the starting 11 is going to be. It's the Friday night fixture at 8 o'clock. Possibly we could maybe get some more information. I'll be trolling Twitter for some team leaks, seeing if we can get some sort of prediction and maybe try and load up on some City players. I do like the idea of having Aguero in.
I like that one, Aguero.
But it's getting difficult because obviously we're talking about Kane, we're talking about Salah, we're talking about Mane, Son, and Bale. They really zap up the funds. And then if you're looking at maybe having Trent as a defender, it's really hard to get all those guys in. So someone's going to have to not feature, and that's probably going to be the hard part for the free hit this week. But I'm going to keep tinkering, and I'll see how I get on.
I said before, Coleman's a good enabler for Everton. He's captain. He's pretty much nailed in their home at Sheffield United. He'd like to think a clean sheet there.
Yeah.
And then he's cheap, and that gives you money elsewhere. I'm only saying because I've got him. I mean, I'm happy with that.
Did he play the last game?
Yes, 7 points returned. That's not really good. I think in the Scottish game, many points I'll tell you right now. Points, points, points. So he's playing tonight, obviously, and already got 6 points from him. And he is priced at 4.9. I mean, that would give you... Maybe watch a game tonight, say he plays against Villa, obviously, and then... If it looks solid again, then, I mean, that's just, to me, it gives you a lot of money elsewhere.
I like El Ghazi as well. He's a nice, cheap option. He's looking decent for Villa as well. He's had a few goals in the last few weeks, and he's up against Crystal Palace.
They blow hot and cold. You just don't know where to get from Crystal Palace.
There's not a lot to play for there either.
Is that you done well, Kurt, Tom?
That's probably us, aye. Thanks for the help.
So, any other topics, FPL-wise, Gunnar, anything?
I think that's it for me. Yep.
Tom, nothing else?
I was going to ask Gunnar, how do you feel about Jota? Is he off the menu now?
So I've took him out 2 weeks ago. I think I brought Greenwood in. But Jota, I don't know. I think he was recently back from injury, and maybe he wasn't ready to feature as much. But now that they've had the break, it wouldn't surprise me to see him against Man United tonight. Maybe not from the start, but like he's shown before, he can get a goal or an assist in like his 25-30 minute cameos. But I don't know. On a free hit, I think midfielders would be Mane and Salah. Yeah, I know it's like it's quite a difference there in price, but if you have the choice on a free hit, that'll be my two. And I don't even know if I'll bring Jota in for the rest of the season. I can't see it right now.
See, just on Jota as well, I believe he was benched, wasn't he, before the game got called off?
Oh yeah, when before the game was called off, the lineups were obviously out and he wasn't in the starting lineup.
But whether that's fitness or tactical, that's up to you to decide. Yeah. But I think it may have been a bit of both.
Yeah. Oh, I think it might have been a bit of both, because I didn't see us starting with the four attackers anyway. And then the lineup came out and Jota obviously wasn't in the starting lineup. And I think because it's the game against United, it probably were tactical reasons, and I don't think we've changed our tactical plan within a week so much that he'll probably start tonight. I can't see that happening. Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, don't Tom. Right.
That's us, yep.
Right, guys, so that is us finished then. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We talked a lot this week. Again, the season's winding down. Next week, I think I'm going to task you guys, and me as well. It's end of season finale. I want a quiz, Afis. I want a quiz each. I'll have a quiz. You have a quiz. Gunnar have a quiz. Just a daft quiz. Just a bit of fun.
Okay.
Because the game week's finished. Obviously, we've got our final rank. See where we are. We can go over the season. Maybe look back and what we've learnt for the first season of Scottish game.
Mm-hmm.
What we think we can take forward the next season. Obviously, it's going to be changing, but what we've learnt for the first season of Scottish game, what we can go on in the next season. Do a wee quiz. Take it for that. And also, we've got the FPL still to cover at the end of the season. And then we're going to the European EuroLeague, which I'm quite looking forward to EuroLeague. We're going to do a podcast specifically on the rules of it, talk people through it, people who don't know how to play, because it's a wee bit different, a wee bit daunting, because it's not an app, it's done through the website, so you have to work it that way. So help people out with that one, and we'll take it from there. So get your stuff in, Tom. Plugs.
FFS Scout on Twitter. No article this week, and probably won't be, because it's a bit late now. And it's the last game week of the season, so you're probably not interested in what I've got to say anyway. You're all just going for your punts. So that'll be me wrapped up for this season. We'll see how things go next season. Obviously looking forward to any sort of modifications to the league and see how things go through the summer. But looking forward to Europa. I'm looking forward to doing the podcast through the summer with that as well. Like Europa. Euros.
Euro.
So looking forward to that. Might put out some content in relation to that too.
Just about to ask you that, Tom, you're going to get a Euro blog off you?
I might do some threads. I'm going to get into the Twitter a bit more, do some threads.
The Euro Gunner, Scout.
Hit me up.
Yeah.
Hit me up, because you're getting nailed in for them. Get your plugs in, Gunnar.
I'm at Fitball Weekly Pod. I usually do the captain, vice-captain poll. I'll probably do that again for the last game week, albeit very obvious. We said on the pod who we go for. I'm the graphics department of the podcast as well. Top 400 in FPL, top 40 in FFS, top 3 in Germany FPL.
Oh.
All right.
Get you on coming soon.
So if Gunnar's not here next season, he's been poached, but here we go. Just on that, Gunnar, the rebrand, is that coming mid-season? Are we getting the rebrand of the name?
I think once the Scottish game is done, and once the FPL is done, I have some ideas, but I need FPL to finish first until I can lock that in. And then, the Twitter handle is going to get a change.
Yeah, we'll maybe really rebrand ourselves a bit of tweeting things with our own podcast. That'll be good done during the summer. So again, guys, if you like the podcast, you can follow me at Fantasy Half. All these guys are either giving their Twitter accounts. If you like your podcast, give us a review where you get it from. And again, thanks for listening throughout the season. And we'll see you again next week. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.